want to read a few scriptures from Matthew. The first one, Matthew 5, verses 38 to 42. No, in fact, it's 38 to 48. You have heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then in Matthew 18, just verses 21 and 22, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Right, it's going to speak to us now. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for all that you've been speaking to us this morning. And Father, we'd ask that you continue to speak to us, speak through Frank. And Father, we pray that he would know your presence on him and that he would know the words to leave out, the words to say. And Father, as you speak to him, may he be able to communicate in ways that excite us and bring us closer to you. Amen.
I was going to try and get out of speaking this morning, but God's told me otherwise. So we're carrying on the series from Lent, which is giving up. So today is it's a big one, actually, giving up our enemies. So who are our enemies? Anyone have any enemies? No? Wow. Blessed bunch. Okay, let's expand that a bit more. An enemy is a person who actively opposes or is hostile towards you, to someone or something. An adversary, an opponent, a rival. Antagonist, challenger, competitor, opposer. Bible takes this very seriously, and there's lots of things in the Bible about enemies and how to deal with enemies. So, the kind of thing I think of is people who resent you, who could hurt you throughout your life. People can dislike you for no apparent reason. Have a think about that for a while. If you can think of it, I can think of a few people in my life who I can relate to on that. Maybe someone has hurt you, said things about you, or done stuff to you. My examples of that were we had a double glazing company that did some work for us and made a right mess of something which caused us major pain later. And I, even now, not so much, no, Rachel still does. When we see their van, we growl. We secretly growl at them. So it's something we need to let go of. Also, other things. A minister that I know, which I'm not going to mention their name, has done stuff which make me really angry and make me really want to do something about it, but I need to let it go. And I need to be able to work with this person in the future. Nobody here, don't worry. But it's something which made my blood boil and made me angry and could make me feel resentment towards them, and there could be a block. God doesn't want me to live like that, I know. But what does the world see as treating your enemies? The world says an eye for an eye, right? You've done something to me, I'll do something to you. Hold on to your anger and look for revenge. How many films have you seen where there's been revenge, right? something's happened, and then the whole rest of the film is about this guy's revenge, taking back what's rightfully mine and destroying the enemies. We saw a film the other day where the whole film, well, most of it, was about one guy getting back at all his enemies, taking them out one by one in gruesome ways, which I did wonder at the time why we were still watching it. Anyway, that's God's prompting. So there's one video I want to show you now. It's a testimony of a mum in America and how she had an enemy and how she's dealt with it. So hopefully there's some videos.
Which one?
It's the one. Powerful? Why should we love our enemies? One, the nature of our God is merciful. He gives mercy. Psalm 103:10 says, He does not deal with us according to our own sins, nor repay us according to our own iniquities. So when Christians live by this way, by God's power, we show something what God is like. So we need to live like God is. Number two, hearts of Christians are satisfied with God and not driven by the cravings of revenge. So we're seeking God and not wanting revenge. This is why we should love our enemies. Number three, God has become our all-satisfying treasure in our heart. So we don't treat our adversaries with their own sense of our insecurity. But in our fullness, when we fully experience God, we're not going to want to hurt them. What does the Bible say about treating your enemy? Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Do you bless your enemies? Do you curse your enemies still? Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. Romans 12:20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. I like that one. See, there's a lot of things in the Bible about enemies and advice, so it's commonplace. In Luke 23:34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. So even when Jesus was dying on the cross, after all that punishment, all the whipping, all the beating, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That's an example to us. So, three things. What you can do, pray for your enemies, bless them and do not curse them, and three, obey God. Obedience to God increases the power of God in our lives. Unforgiveness is a block. I don't know if you remember before when I did the sermon, we had a glass and we poured water into the glass, and then in that glass we had a couple of objects. There was some different things blocking, right? That blocked the amount that God could pour into your life. One of those things I see is unforgiveness. So if you're holding unforgiveness, that stops God pouring his love in a measure that he wants to into your life. So when we pray for our enemies, thank God for them. Ask God to understand them better. Ask God's grace to love and love to break through into them. Pray that God will open their eyes. And pray for the means and opportunity for you to bless them. Difficult prayers, but can be done. For people who follow Jesus, it's not just an option to love and pray for our enemies. It's a reliable way to reflect the image of our loving God. What about other enemies? There's also a common saying, we are our own worst enemy. So if you don't have any other external enemies, what about you? We are our own worst critic. We overanalyze, fail to appreciate the small things, and don't manage our expectations. Just some quotes on forgiveness. Rachel's given me some really good material from her training stuff, so thank you. When you hold resentment towards another, you are bound to that person or condition with an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. Catherine Ponder. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was actually you. That was Lewis B. Smeds. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. Mahatma Gandhi. And the last one, I like this one the best. Sorry. Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. Oscar Wilde. Forgiveness is just like medicine. It heals your pain, gives you peace and comforts you, restores your joy. If you looked at that video, the mum who's been able to forgive, she's received peace. She's got the joy back to live her life. She could have lived a very bitter, angry life, right? As her son has died, I'm sure she's gone through a lot of grief. And as she says, it doesn't diminish what that guy has done, but she is able to forgive in her own heart. So she receives the healing. And actually through that, he's received the healing and come to know Christ. Okay. I've lost my place. Yeah. Okay. Right. So, we need to forgive because we've been forgiven. God forgave us our sins, and we need to forgive others. Colossians 3:13 says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's a command. If you want to be a forgiving person, you need to accept the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the earth to pay for the forgiveness, all the things that we've done wrong. He paid it so we don't have to. That's good news for us. You have to forgive those who've hurt you because resentment will control you. Resentment makes you miserable, keeps you stuck in the past. Past is past, let it go. Resentment can actually make you sick. And there's some wise words in Ecclesiastes 7:9. Only fools get angry quickly and hold a grudge. The Bible gives lots of advice on the different parts of forgiveness and how we need to live that way. Here's some things on positive and negative effects of forgiveness. I'll do the negative ones first. Negative effects of forgiveness. Bad health can cause you bad health. Anxiety. Broken relationship. Ongoing hurt and anger. Fearful. Inward looking. Cycles of shame, blame and condemnation. Positive effects of forgiveness gives freedom, peace of mind, brings healing, emotional and physical, warmth, bring others to God, repair broken relationships, new hope, loving. Some big, big differences there. So reasons to forgive. We need to forgive because God forgave us. And we're not perfect. So we do have trouble with sin and we keep on sinning. And God, we need God to continually forgive us. And what does it, and he said in the scripture that if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. That gives motivation that we should be a forgiving people, right? You have to forgive because otherwise resentment will control you. Make you miserable. Can make you sick, as we mentioned. Okay, there's one more video I'd like to show. And this one is about forgiving yourself. So that one's the one with Andrea. I still mess up, but I'm moving forward in the favour of God. That sounds like my life quote, actually, but I think that's good for all of us. We're all not perfect, and we all need forgiveness. So this is a hook, and this is another good example from Rachel's magic book. It's about unforgiveness. It's saying, being in unforgiveness is like being on a giant hook. Next to you on the hook is the person who's hurt you. The hook is extremely painful. Wherever you go, so does the hook, and so does the offender. The only way you can get off the hook is to allow the offender off first. The cost of not allowing the offender off the hook, perhaps a lifetime of unhappiness. I thought that was quite powerful to explain what unforgiveness is like. Are you stuck on the hook? It's a quick story from a lady you might know, Corrie ten Boom. Who's heard of Corrie ten Boom? Yeah, that's good. Okay, I'll spare my voice. Rachel, can you come and read it? Amazing story. Can you imagine? Your sister's been tortured and killed by the hands of someone, and then you face to face. Let me just read that last bit again, because I love that bit. I thrust my hand into the one stretched out. As I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang as we joined hands together. And then, healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. That's God. That's God's Holy Spirit flowing through her. As Corrie ten Boom was able to forgive, God's spirit flew through her into the guy. Amazing. Only through God. See, I think as Christians, you know, we have the extra capacity to forgive. If you don't have the love of God, then it's going to be really difficult, right? So we should set examples as being forgiving people. Forgiveness is like medicine. I said this already, but heal your pain, give you peace, comfort you and restore you and free you. I've got two short prayers here we'll go through in a moment. There's just one more video which will hopefully prompt you, maybe something from your past that you need to forgive, which is the signs of forgiveness one. I think it's the last one. It's two prayers, one first for forgiving others and then the short one for forgiving ourselves. Dear Lord, I thank you for the power of forgiveness, and I choose to forgive everyone who has hurt me. Help me set, and then think of the name of the person that you want to forgive. Help me set them free and release them to you. Help me bless those who have hurt me. Help me to walk in righteousness, peace and joy. Demonstrating your life here on earth. I choose to be kind and compassionate, forgiving others just as you forgave me. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, often more difficult one for ourselves. Father, today I ask forgiveness of all the negative and harmful words I've spoken about myself. I do not want to abuse myself in such a way again. Transform my thoughts and let me understand how marvellously you made me. Change my habits so I use my tongue to speak hope and favour upon my life. In Jesus' name, amen. One other thing we've got, I brought with us, and I haven't prepared. Keith, I don't know if there's some pens or something. We bought some paper, and it will enable you. Some people, this works for better, is you can write your name on the, write the name of the person, or your name, on the bit of paper that you want to forgive. And then we've got some shredding scissors, where you can cut up that bit of paper as an act to say, I forgive. So we're just going to get some pens and then you have an opportunity. And I don't know, maybe in the last song, Susan, people can come up and then shred a bit of paper. But yeah, I hope that's been useful for this morning. It's a very challenging area, and as someone who had to prepare for it, God kind of gets to you first. So he's had a good talk to me about things that I need to forgive. But the key message is, by doing that, you're releasing space for God to invade you more in your life, which is fantastic. So, pens are on the way. Rachel, do you want to get the paper out?